This fall, we have been involved in a Psalms class, some of us have, and we have been talking about three kinds of Psalms in six sessions or so together. You can't hit 150, so how do you organize a class around the different kinds of Psalms? And we're using Walter Brueggemann's framework, who's an Old Testament scholar, of saying there's three movements in the Christian life. There's a time in our life where everything is going great. God is good all of the time. Life is perfect. It's normal. It's outstanding. And then many of us go through a time in our life where life is disorienting and it's abnormal and life is turned upside down. And we're not sure where we are or where is God. Is God hard of hearing in our prayers because life is so difficult? And then there's a third phase where we're trying to find a new normal with our life in light of what has happened. So there's normal, abnormal, and new normal, or orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. And the Psalms, many of them, most of them, I would say, fit in one of those categories. So it's really important to know which one is this. Psalm 138 fits in this category of new normal, or trying to find that new normal, where something has happened, life was great, something has happened, but now there's an ability to look back and see that God has responded in a time of need, and the psalmist is thankful for it. It doesn't mean all the enemies are done, it doesn't mean all the difficulty or all the challenges are done, but the psalmist has moved through those places. So as we open this text this morning, it's important to know where the psalmist is with this particular psalm. But I want to suggest that as we read it today, that it's important for you to know which spot might you be in today, because we're part of a large community today, and we know that there are people in all sorts of different places. And what I want to say today is, in this place and in this psalm, there's hospitality for wherever you might be. God is good all of the time. Life is really challenging right now. Where is God in the midst of this? And, oh, I'm so grateful I can see how God has been with me or with us through this time. There's a place here for all of you in this text this morning. Before we read it, let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for the psalm, the song, the prayer, the poetry that we read today. We thank you for our own journey of faith, and we thank you for companioning us along the way. Today, as we read your word, give us new hearts, give us new ears, give us a new spirit, that we might live a life of gratitude for who you have been and who you are and how we will experience you yet to come. So bless us today as we come with open hearts. Help us to hear with our whole heart. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The psalmist says, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Before the scripture reading this morning, we shared the images on the screen because I think it's important for us to see and be reminded of who we are as a Christian community. We put the images on the screen not to toot our own horn or to take a church-wide selfie and be proud of ourselves, but we put the images on the screen to remind us of who we are. We put the images in our hearts and on the screen because we are part of a community that is on a lifelong journey, a lifelong intergenerational journey to become more like Jesus Christ. We put the images on the screen and in our hearts because we know that part of this journey and part of this growing together is not only meeting real human needs, it's not only about just making connections with one another, it's not just about love and service, it's not just about any one of these things, it's about all of them. And none of us are done learning. It's a special kind of learning that happens in Christian community when we rub shoulders with one another, when we serve together, when we meet human needs, and we find ourselves being more blessed or twice blessed than the person who's on the other end of this. And maybe most significantly on Thanksgiving morning, just as we pull out special silverware and the pot that we never use but once a year and the songs that we sing and the time that we spend together and the stories that we do with one another, we are now establishing a memory together as a community of faith that something goes with Thanksgiving when we are community together, and it involves working together and sharing and serving gladly out of gratitude. So this is something for all of us to be engaged in, and we have been. It's a moment where a local grocery store hears about what we're up to and says, wow, and knocks the price down on the turkeys. It's the kind of thing that a household says, we've got the pies. And in September or October, we get the phone call that says, I've got the turkeys. And someone else says, you know what? I can't give anything, but I can be a turkey Uber. I will be a delivery agent. I can't give anything, but I will strapping tape on a box. Another household says, grocery prices are high. We ought to do something to help these families because groceries are more difficult than they were a year ago. We make memories together. And as we do it, we listen to one another's stories and we begin to realize we are a people at each one of these chapters. And there are people that we meet who are in each one of these chapters. So this morning, we get to hear a text about a psalmist who's remembering something that Yahweh did in a time of need and distress. And this person is so enthusiastic about it that he or she crashes the doors open when there's some committee meeting where angels and gods and powers and principalities are all making their reports and their testimonies before Yahweh. And this person interrupts everything and says, "With my whole heart, I need to tell a story about what God has done for me. God responded to me in my need or in my distress, and now I can't wait to tell about what God has done." And that person might be here, or might be here, or might be here. That person might be in the midst of distress and not having any sign of God in the moment, but now remembers God's past faithfulness, and that is shaping this moment. So I keep making the calls, and it doesn't seem like you're answering, but I remember that in the past, you have responded when I was in a season of need, and you were there for me. I remember that, and I want to tell of your faithfulness in the midst of all of these other testimonies and reports that are given. And you know what? The reason why God is so lofty and high and majestic, and why his name ought to be amplified and magnified, is because he has stooped down and come to lowly me and lowly you. Precisely in our time of need, the God of Israel responds to people who are in distress. And that is what the psalmist is so happy about. And then his feet come down to the ground. And he says, not only is this a message for heaven, is this a testimony for heaven, but it's for earth as well. Because kings of the earth, you think you're powerful, you think you've got lots of might and lots of importance, but let me tell you something. The thing that makes Yahweh the high God over all of these other things, the thing that makes this God powerful is that he comes down. He comes down and he becomes present with us in all of our places of pain and distress and need. That's power. If you've been around this community for a couple weeks, Pastor Dale preached a sermon about a month ago or so on Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar was drunk with power and self-importance. And in the text, that's insanity. His breakdown was a breakthrough, and it wasn't until he got to the point of recognizing, wow, I am not that, I'm not as important as I think, and Yahweh is to be praised and honored. He has a breakthrough of sanity because he's not number one. Yahweh is. And the message of this text for the kings of the earth is to recognize that real power is what Yahweh does, is coming down. Now, I'm not sure where you are in the story of everything's great, things are really hard right now, or coming through. But I want to remind you that we're part of a community where people are in all of those places, and not everyone is wherever you might be. And in community, that's a beautiful thing. This year, I did not get to deliver a lot of turkey boxes because we had so many hands willing to take care of them. I only got to deliver one, and we delivered it to a single mom with two kids, and she didn't know what this was about, and she has had a very difficult year. And she met the gift of Georgetown, the gift of God, the free gift, with lots of tears and wondering, why me? Why me? It seems to me that that is the question of faith for all of God's free gifts. Why me? And this, for her, was not just a gift from a congregation, but it was something that felt heaven-sent. The best parts about that story is about 4 or 5 hours later, we got a phone call and said, yeah, thanks a lot. My two sons are arguing over who gets to have the pie, and they want to eat it early. What a wonderful story. What a wonderful part of being in Christian community where we realize that God is working through us for something that's much larger than us. And it's a story for heaven, and it's a story for earth. And the psalmist is very clear, once his feet are on the ground, that there are still enemies, there's still distress, there's still problems, but now there's also Yahweh who makes himself known, who is present even in the midst of these things. And so we say it often around here, that everyone has a story, and everyone comes from one. And we recognize that in the middle of that story, we have a God who is responsive. So this is a Thanksgiving that we recognize that people come with a story, and that story is worth being heard and worth being lived out. And there are multiple stories of God's faithfulness and wondering about, where am I? In the midst of that, we have a God who comes down. Who comes down and sees us and is present with us. I'm reminded in this text of Philippians 2 of Jesus, who does not consider equality with God something to be clung onto. But what does he do? He becomes a servant, a slave, and pours himself out for the needs of the world. He joins us in our needs and our distress. A good tee up for our Advent season, which begins Sunday. Pastor Dale has chosen the theme, He Comes. Recognizing he's been here and he's coming again. On Thanksgiving morning, we give thanks that we have that kind of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, O God, for not abandoning the work of your hands. Thank you, O God, for remembering us in our time of need. Remind us, O God, of your availability. Remind us, O God, that we can join the psalmist in interrupting heaven's doors and proclaiming your name with our whole heart. May your will and your glory be known and given in heaven and on earth. As your people, we come with a story. We are a people of many stories, and you are in the midst of them. Help us this day to lift your name high for all that you have done for us. Thank you for all of your free gifts. We love you, we thank you, and we trust you. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus, who has come down to be with us. Let all God's people say, Amen.